eighth grade. Come on, guys.
Where's Karen?
She's back here.
Do you have one for pre-K or two? Two classes, fourth and fifth together, and sixth through eighth together.
Right.
You guys, don't be fearful of teaching Sunday school. I know that we all like our, if those of us that attend Sunday school, I know we enjoy our adult classes and we enjoy the fellowship. But I got to tell you, if you teach a class of youth, you're on your toes and you have to study because they do ask questions that you need to find the answers to. And I'm teaching the high school. I am by no means a Bible scholar, and sometimes I have to say, you know, I'll get back to you on that one, or this is what I think, but let me talk to Larry about it. So don't let the thought of teaching scare you. Don't think that you don't have enough knowledge, because if it's on your heart to spend time with these children, God will give you the tools and the knowledge you need to get through to them. Also, it's camp time again, and Senior High Camp is the first camp this year. It's June 3rd through 8th. Your registration form and your money needs to be into Elizabeth before next Sunday to get the early bird fee. That would be $67.50, because if you attend church here, the church pays half of your camp cost. So if you are planning on attending Senior High Camp, Elizabeth is not going to be here today. She's not feeling well. But if you've got your things today, you can give it to me, and I'll get it to Elizabeth. Otherwise, she needs it by that and the money, the registration and the money by next Sunday, just so you get the early bird price. You can still register after that, but the early bird price is next Sunday. Also, we want to say congratulations to Larry and Carol and Aunt Elizabeth on their second grandchild. Thatcher Allen Gross was born May 18th at 8:58 a.m. He weighed 7 pounds 3 ounces and he was 20 and a half inches long. And I can attest he's gorgeous. I saw him. He's beautiful. So he's asleep. So we have another sweet baby to love on in our congregation. Okay, is there any announcements, prayer, praise requests from the congregation? Let's put my Aunt Jenny McKnight on there. She put her house up for sale this week and is planning on moving from Alabama up into the condominiums where my mom lives in Pleasant View. And she's got a little dog that she's had for 14 years that she's having to put down on Wednesday. And that's like her child. So y'all pray for comfort for her. And pray that her and mother don't murder each other once she gets up there. But just keep her in your prayers that if this is what God wants her to do, that will turn out.
Becky, Donovan has a recurring thing, but like vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
She's scheduled to train this morning, but but he had to stand up, can't
say. I feel so proud of her. Prayer for her. All the time. Anyone else? Okay. Early, I know it's early. Refer to your prayer list that's in your bulletin and pray for these people, that whatever their needs are, that God will bless them. Okay, at this time we're going to pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worship. Worship is printed in your bulletin. It is responsive, so if you could follow along with me. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing.
To the one seated on the throne,
and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever.
So I'll stand now, turning our hymnals. Excuse me. To hymn 555, we're marching to Zion. quicker.
Then let our song come out and every tear be dry. We're marching through the Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through the Emmanuel's ground. To bearer, the world's on high. To bearer, the world's on high. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Bow with me as we pray. Lord God, Your Word tells us what it will be like when we get into heaven, or at least a glimpse of it. And Lord, Your Word calls us to approach with boldness because Jesus has preceded us to make the way for us. And Lord, as we are on that march, let us go joyfully. But let us reach out and gather others to go with us. Thank You for the hope that You have given us through Jesus Christ. That this world is not our home, but only passing through. Thank You for the anticipation of entering into that city called Zion, New Jerusalem. Lord, so bless us that we can be ready and able to truly glorify You when we gather there. Yes, Lord, praise be unto You in glory and honor and power and to the Lamb. In the Lamb's name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Even praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Please join in stating your faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now's the time in our service where we come before God's throne to confess our sin. The call to confession this morning is from Isaiah 59, verse 12. For our offenses are many in Your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. Prayer of confession and unison, please. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from death to life and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our life. We have gone along with the ways of the world and failed to give him glory. Forgive us and raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of the church, his life. Your assurance of forgiveness comes from Isaiah 57:15. For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite.
Hymn 497. Near to the heart of God.
From John 15:12-13, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Would the ushers please come forward?
Bow for prayer, please. Lord, we bow out of respect for you, humble, contrite. Thank you for that place near your heart. Thank you for the forgiveness that is ours through Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the material benefits of life. You've given them to you for your glory. And Lord, these offerings, a portion brought to your house, bless each giver, and especially those who are not able to give. And Lord, bless the use of these gifts. All for your glory, through Jesus Christ.
Turn to hymn 574. I don't know where this frog came from in my throat, but I hope it leaves. We will sing the first verse only, and you will find that the tune is familiar, but the words are different. So just play us in a little introduction, and I think we'll play.
Good night.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from John 17, verses 20 through 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, for the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Greatest desire for us as is expressed by Jesus in what we know as or have been told is Jesus' high priestly prayer. The entire chapter 17 of John is a prayer. Jesus praying. The relationship between him and his Father. He talks to the Father about God the Father. He talks to God the Father about the 12. Or maybe others with the 12. I hate to limit the disciples just to the 12. And then he talks about us. Now, how did Jesus know about us? How could he talk about us? Well, that you, that's me, he's talking about. Those who will believe because of him. Recently, I've tried to present a purpose or a goal of a sermon, and it's helped me to focus more, maybe to run fewer rabbits off the trail as they run off, as Mary Beth Rowland has always picked up on my rabbit chasing, as she calls it. But that's, I always considered that very important, too. Maybe she, well, I'll tell that when she's here. 10 o'clock, I could think maybe she needs it because she followed me down the trail. Okay. But the purpose is to call attention to Jesus' will for us as he expressed it in this high priestly prayer, or this prayer where he was going to God on our behalf. That was the priest. His responsibility. The responsibility of the priest was to go to God on people's behalf. Or that's traditionally the role of the priest. Go back to Aaron and Moses. And then as we learn God's will for us, the purpose continues, or the goal is to invite listeners to make his will, God's will, their will. That's you and I. As we know what God wants for us,
that we would invite Him to take over our will as He has invited us to surrender our will to Him. The historical setting, that seems to be important to some people. It has helped me a little bit, so let's look at it. Jesus was about to go to the cross. He had spent 3 years in public ministry and death was facing him. He knew it. He met with the disciples. He talked with them. He met with the upper room in John 13. He washed the disciples' feet. The other Gospels mentions that he instituted the Lord's Supper. John, for some reason, overlooks this or fails to include it in his Gospel. He met with the disciples. It was the last Passover meal that he would observe with them before he died. He was soon to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he would pray again to the Heavenly Father concerning going to the cross or not going to the cross. Father, if it be your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, what you say is what I'm willing to do, what I want to do, though it was going to be death and suffering before he arrived at death. But Jesus, for our benefit, to fulfill his purpose of redeeming mankind or offering redemption to every person, he was willing to go to the cross. He surrendered his will to God's will. This prayer, we think, preceded his time in the garden, or maybe it was a part of his experience in the garden. We have the other Gospels give the three petitions that he offered, that he be relieved of that duty, but then he surrendered to God's will. In the Bible, we have the great commandment. And a few weeks ago, we spoke of the great commandment. You remember what the great commandment is? Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul said the greatest of faith, hope, and love was love. Faith is so important. The key to salvation. Hope, that's anticipation. Not a wish, but anticipation. Anticipation of an eternity with God. And then love. And Paul says of these, love is the greatest. So love one another, the great commandment. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. It was like it was new, but it had been around for eternity. And then we know about the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Go into the world and make disciples. Teaching, baptizing, drawing people into the family of God. Making people who live here on earth ready for heaven. Set them on the path to heaven. Set them on the road to Zion. Invite them to join in the march to Zion. So the great commandment. And those people that we love, we reach out and invite to go to heaven. And then we have the great prayer. Now, who would say that this was the great prayer? I didn't put the in front of it, did I? I just said great prayer. There are other great prayers in the Bible. There's the Lord's Prayer. But that's Jesus teaching us to pray. And we all know it. Here we say it. Hopefully we don't say it. We pray it each Sunday. Jesus said, let's recite the Lord's Prayer. And even that slip of the tongue a moment ago, I said we say it, but I caught myself. We need to pray the Lord's Prayer. We need to make that our prayer instead of just recite so many words that Jesus left for us. So that's a great prayer. Great prayers also we find in the Old Testament. the prayers of Moses for the people of God, the prayers of Solomon. Solomon built the temple, and he came and offered a prayer to God concerning God's blessing upon the temple and the benefits of the temple for God's people. And then I believe it was the assurance of pardon was God's it was that learning song. It was God's response. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And the learning song was God's response to Solomon's prayer of dedication. And you find that in the book of Chronicles and in the book of Kings. You can go find which one. There's 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. There's 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And so 2 Chronicles 6 is where it is, and the 6th chapter is where it is in Chronicles. You'll have to find it in Kings. And then the response is 2 Chronicles 7:14. Many great prayers. This is a great prayer. This is a personal prayer. God's personal prayer through His Son, Jesus, for us. Think of God's concern for us. Think of Jesus' concern for us. If we don't do much meditating in the worship service, in the worship service, we have something to do every minute, every second. But think, meditate a moment on Jesus. Some thought he was just another man, and some still think he was just another man. The Bible teaches that he's the Son of God. Bible teaches he was God in the flesh. Bible teaches if we could see, when we see Jesus, we see God. Jesus quoted that, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus, who was with God at creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God. Jesus, who was God at creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. Think of God, who came to earth in the form of a baby and was about at this particular time to go to the cross for us, for our redemption. And Him praying for us. The Savior praying for us. The Savior, if you think of this, and you know, I'm kind of limited in my imagination. But some of you are Star Wars people and can really think in those terms. And if we can think, and I can do it a little bit, that Jesus thought into the future. I got confused in the movie Back to the Future. I'm not sure what happened there. It was interesting. But Jesus, way back there, was thinking into the future, thinking about us. We wasn't even born. Well, it was Jeremiah whom God called to ministry before he was even conceived. And God through Jesus, Jesus looked into the future and thought about you and thought about me. And he prayed to the Father for me. And he prayed to God the Father for us concerning our relationship, really. Our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. I'm waiting until now to get to the introduction. It should have been way back there, maybe. This prayer is a prayer for us. Jesus prayed even before we were born. A prayer for all who believe in Jesus. Through the word of the apostles. A word that's been passed down to us. Somebody kept it going. Somebody kept it going. God kept it going through His people. It's also a prayer for those who lived and believed between the time of Jesus when He was walking on the earth and our conversion or our salvation experience. Jesus, what does He pray? What does He want for us? Jesus prays that all believers may be one. If you'd like to take your form here, verse 21, that all of them may be one. All of these who have come to believe in Him or come to salvation through their faith in Him based on the word of those apostles that's been handed on down to us, that all may be one. Now, we're many. How can we be one? Well, just as you and I, you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. And then there's a reason for us to be one. So that the world may believe that God has sent Jesus. So that the world may believe in Jesus. Well, friends, that petition has yet to be fulfilled. And it's amazing. We keep getting more divided and more divided. And I learned of even a new Presbyterian denomination that's coming on the scene. You know, there was one church, and there were a few little splinter groups, but in the 1500s, there became much rebellion because of the corruption of the church. We who are a part of the rebellion movement, if you will, our ancestors saw that. They tried to reform, and out of the Reformation, out of the reforming movement, they couldn't reform. So new denominations, and Luther, and Calvin, and Zwingli, and Menno, Simons, and many, many more through the years. And then in 1810, or right prior to 1806, 7, 8, 9, the Cumberland Presbyterians divided from the other Presbyterians. We tried to get back together in 1906, but it didn't work. And then in 1968, a group out of the Southern Church came out, the Southern Presbyterian Church. And then other groups have divided. We are so far away from seeing this petition of Jesus fulfill, this desire of Jesus, this will of Jesus, that we would be one. One good thing I heard this week concerning Jerry Falwell's death. Jesse Jackson said, and I was home in the middle of the afternoon watching TV, trying to get a nap, and I had taken some antihistamine, this Zolpidem. I hadn't had anything about Wednesday, but that petition has yet to be fulfilled, but I did hear Jesse Jackson say that he and Jerry Falwell, and they were socially this far apart, as far as they could be, he says, we were united in Christ. So even with the divisions, there is some unity. We can at least agree on Jesus being the Savior. Most of us can agree when we come to the communion table that it's the Lord's Supper, and we're remembering Him and we're proclaiming Him. And the word is, I think, be connected. Be connected with one another. Just don't fight one another. But the prayer is that all would be one, so that the world would believe that God sent Jesus. The world out here, they say, why are there so many denominations? I hear it. Do I hear it every week? Maybe every month? Even in Nolensville. Why are there so many denominations? Because they all won't agree with me. No, I don't say that. We can say that among ourselves, I guess. They'd all agree with me, we could be one, right? They all want to be Presbyterian and Presbyterian form of government and baptized the way we do, we could all be one, right? Well, verse 21, all be one, so that. Why should we be one? So that the world would believe that God sent Jesus. If we could believe that Jesus really was of God. The world that Jesus lived in, they didn't think Jesus was of God. Verse 23, and that the world would know that God sent Jesus. The world would believe and know that what they were believing was real. But that the world would believe that God sent Jesus, so that the world would know that God sent Jesus. He says this is so important, that the world may know. Be one. And then that the world would know that God loves us. And if we could ever get our forces together, we quit doing it this way or that way. If we just quit fighting one another. I don't even like to use the word, but fighting one another. We could evangelize the world. And we don't have to do it. We don't have to do it all alike. Every commentator, back to the 1700s, Matthew Henry, he says, we don't all have to do it just alike. We don't have to sing the same songs. We can have contemporary services, that's good. We can have traditional services as we know them. We can have Southern Gospel, the Franklin Cumberland Presbyterian Church, their big thing is Southern Gospel. And they say Southern Gospel makes you feel good. That's their claim to fame, I guess, and they're pretty famous there in Franklin. We're more traditional. And somebody else went to another Cumberland Presbyterian Church last week, and they said, oh, they're so formal. They were extremely formal. And we can be extremely formal, or we can be quite loose. But if we're all headed in the same direction and loving one another, that's where it is. If we love one another, then we'll be united. We not. That they would, that the world may know that God loves them. All be one. Now, he prays for us to be where he is. That's pretty good. He wants us to be in heaven. He wants us to be where he is. May they be one so that we can experience his presence. He prays for us to see his glory. Now sometimes when we see Christ's glory, that could be a little confusing. It might not be all peaches and cream. Because glory, Christ seeing his glory or experiencing glory was seen in his suffering. Seen in the cross. He saw the cross as being in his glory. And the glory is seen in Christ doing the perfect will of God the Father. And he's
to that prayer after this one in the garden where he said, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." And his glory was revealed as others realized his special relationship with God. And I see a special relationship with God. At Jesus' baptism, the voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son." At the Transfiguration, the voice from heaven spoke, "This is my Son," or "my beloved Son." And then the way Jesus lived. Oh, the prayer at the raising of Lazarus, God spoke. And then the way Jesus lived. The way he acted toward other people. It showed to many that he had come from God. Often it would say, if he did that, he had to be from God. If he did that, he had to be from God. Let's see what Jesus prayed for us. "My prayer is not for them alone." That's talking about the apostles. "I also pray," or "pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Let's work together with all the other churches that the world may believe that God has sent you. Trust Jesus as their Savior, to serve Him as their Lord. The song is a kind of a contemporary song. They'll know that we are Christians by our love. By our love. 284 is the number. Can you stand together and let's sing this? And I don't know how you would like to respond this morning. I'm not even sure how we should extend this invitation. But if God is speaking to you to make a public response, either to trust Jesus, if you come to know that Jesus is the Son of God, you want to give your life to Him. Or some put it, invite Him into your life. You can make that public, publicly known here at the altar as we sing. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Loving us and showing us how to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
I'll take the lead. Never mind. You go follow the other. The girl okay?
After Martha said this, she went back and called her sister Mary privately.
The teacher is here, and is asking for you.
He got up and hurried out to meet him. Jesus had not yet arrived in the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The people who were in the house with Mary, comforting her, followed her when they saw her get up and hurry out. They thought that she was going to the grave to weep there. Where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet. Passover. Thank you.